Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday afternoon, the 24th of June, we're going to go through a little listener email, talkback at issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8385. We know that our listeners, the vast majority of them, listen on demand, and they can't join the conversation in real time, so we give them an opportunity to do so with questions, comments, show suggestions, or just trying to extend the conversation they've already heard on Issues Etc. Talkback at issuesetc.org or the comment line 618-223-8382.
And both those vehicles are available for live listeners as well. You know how you listen to something, it's like, gee, I wish they would have asked this question. And they didn't. So call our comment line or send us an email.
I try to cover all the bases, but I don't always cover all the bases.
Well, you're just thinking of the 90%+ of our listeners who listen via the podcast on demand. First of all, special. We owe Josh Pauling big time because that interview you heard earlier on transgenderism was scheduled 30 minutes before we went live. Before that, we were looking at more than 1 hour, yes, folks, 1 hour of listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
But Joshua came through.
Yes, he did. So thank you, Josh. We appreciate it. Let's begin. Steve writes, this is regarding our live broadcast of Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, which, by the way, has a new summer airtime at 8:35 or 8:30, approximately 8:30 Central, Monday through Friday. Throughout the rest of the year, it's 9 o'clock Central, summer, 8:30, 8:35, much to the chagrin of Lord Feigninger and myself, that we have to get here half hour earlier to run the thing. But Steve writes, I receive a 404 page not found error when I try to download the chapel service bulletin. Not a big deal, but I do like to follow along. Thanks for the great topic / guests that you have on the show.
I think that's been corrected, if I'm not mistaken. We hadn't received the bulletin PDF, that file, from the guys at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, until maybe yesterday? Kind of runs together for me. It was until
so you're blaming it on them.
Well, yeah, I'm going to throw them under the bus. If they don't send us the bulletin, we tend to forget that the bulletin should be there. So yeah, that link was dead until we were able to link it to the PDF they sent us. And then there's a brand new one that was up this morning for Thursday and Friday.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, Steve, to actually have the bulletin, you have the hymns there and
sure
to follow along. So that's always posted. What is it? Issuesetc.org. I mean, you can always go to the live, right? If
right
you're listening live, you go to issuesetc.org and you click the play button in the on our talk station, upper right-hand corner. But if you want the chapel thing, you got to go to talk and then daily chapel. Is that correct? Issuesetc.org, talk, and then goes down to daily chapel. And that's where you'll find, there it is, download the chapel service bulletin. So there you go, Steve. Sorry about that. I should have caught it. Carrie writes, okay, I have to ask. Why, when you introduce female guests, do you mention how many children they have? I have never noticed you doing so when introducing male guests. If I'm being honest, I just don't care how many or few progeny a guest has. I just want to hear their take on the subject at hand. If they do a good job on the subject for which they're interviewed, it just doesn't matter, male or female. Thanks for listening, and thanks for the feedback, Carrie.
Well, that's a Jeff question, because Jeff is the one who writes what we call them, the show sheets or the title sheets. And I have noticed that too, but I was afraid to ask because I thought there's
listen some, to that. I was afraid to
ask. I was afraid to ask. I didn't want to get in trouble.
Oh my goodness.
Well, first, I don't want to get yelled at.
First of all, like we have Joy Pullman on, and it's something school related. We don't show she has children that are school age, right?
It's a credibility thing.
It's a credibility thing. We get complaints. As a matter of fact, our old place of employment is like, why do you put so much biographical information? We say expert guess. It drives me nuts, absolutely crazy, watching TV, so-and-so of blank. With the little chyron. What's blank? I mean, what makes me want to watch this person? What makes them an expert on what you're expecting me to watch for the next 3.5 minutes? But anyway, so that's primarily why we do it. But it isn't equal. I was thinking we did a thing on vocation of father with Pastor Peter Bender, and we didn't mention how many children he'd had. However, our most recent interview on the vocation of father with Pastor Rolf Preuss, I think we not only include how many children he had, but how many grandchildren he had.
Yeah, we included that.
So
he does have a lot of children and grandchildren.
Yes, he does. So primarily, Carrie, if it has something to do with the topic, sometimes I'm just working from an old show sheet. Like Joy Pullman might not be talking something that's school related, but I just forget to take that off of the show sheet.
We had it with Mary. Did we do it with Mary Fiorito recently, or was it Noel
Maring? Yeah, we did that. I mean, she's talking about progressive ideology, and a lot of it was going to be about schools.
Yeah.
So it gives you credibility.
It's why she is a concerned citizen when it comes to these things. And we have done it occasionally with male guests too. But it goes to the reason we tell you, you know, going into a break or coming out of a break or introducing someone with all of this biographical information is because we claim to have expert guests and we want to demonstrate to our listeners that this person really does have some expertise in the area that they're talking about. So it goes to the emailer's real concern here. It's part of demonstrating the expertise.
But I must confess, sometimes the fact that they have lots of children doesn't always deal with the topic at hand. But I'm just working with an old show sheet.
Sure.
And I just don't catch it.
It's so. All cut and paste around here.
That's right. That's right.
What would we do without that function on a computer?
I was just going to say that.
What would we do without cut and paste if someone had not invented cut and paste?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Debbie resides in Sterling Heights, Michigan, where their beloved Detroit Tigers beat our beloved St. Louis Cardinals yesterday.
They're not so beloved if you're watching the sports writers here. They're starting to turn on the Cardinals a little bit.
Schilty the Shill, manager,
somebody,
Mike Schilt. Mike Schill.
A big St. Louis sports writer tweeted just a couple minutes ago, have the Cardinals try turning themselves off and back on again because they definitely need a reboot. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, it's a honeymoon period for all of us. I don't think we have a honeymoon period anymore, do we? Because, you know, the show's 25 years old. It's just all anniversaries from here, right?
Exactly. Happy anniversaries.
Debbie Sterling Heights, Michigan. She is writing in regards to podcast 1612, Christian Witness in Everyday Life with Pastor Mark Wood. At the 11:24 mark, and I love when people do that, they actually put the time cue with the quote. The quote is, the reality is we're never going to pray anyone into the kingdom of God, end quote. It may be my American evangelical Christian roots talking, but I have never heard this before. Can you please explain this a little further? Thanks for listening in Michigan, Debbie.
Well, I don't think the guest, and in this case, that guest was Mark Wood, right? Yes, Mark Wood, the author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for June, called Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. I don't think he was intending in any way to disparage prayer as part of Christian witness. It's, in fact, I think he has a whole section in the book on prayer as part of Christian witness, but it can never be by itself. And I think what he was trying to say is, look, we ought to be praying for our unbelieving friends, neighbors, family members. We ought to be praying for them daily that God would restore them to repentance and faith. But if we are only praying and we are not speaking to them the specific word of God that brings repentance and faith, then we haven't accomplished a Christian witness. We ought to be praying for them, but as we have opportunity, we ought to also be speaking that specific word of God that is the very mechanism by which the Holy Spirit creates both repentance and faith. Let's see what Jeff has to say. He listens in Tampa, Florida. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Pastor Wilkin. Hi, Jeff. I've really been enjoying the interviews about this issue with the Roman Catholic Church and President Biden and withholding the sacrament from him. And why I think it's such an interesting discussion is what we're all circling around is the issue of sin. And my question to you, Pastor, is it a sin to support abortion rights, a sin such that you should be repentant of? Because my catechism will tell me that the sacrament is given to us for the forgiveness of our sins. So therefore, if we're unrepentant of the sin, why are we going to the sacrament? Could you elaborate on that for me?
Yeah, it is a sin to support abortion rights, as it would be a sin to support any other sinful behavior that someone else may partake. Someone says, well, I don't have abortions. I haven't had one. I haven't paid for one, but I support someone's right to do this. That is precisely, by the way, President Biden's position. He doesn't want an abortion for anyone he knows. He says he's personally opposed to abortion. By the way, journalists should probably, when he says that next time, ask him, why are you personally opposed? It's a very simple question. It's not a trick question because it's just one word. Why? Why are you opposed, personally opposed to abortion? They're not even asking him, why are you personally opposed to abortion, but support all the way to the hilt everything of the abortion agenda that could possibly be supported. They're just asking him, why are you personally opposed? And I know what his answer would be. His answer would be, it's personal, which is not an answer. It's an evasion. If he's a personally opposed, as he's stated so many times, then he should be able to tell us why he's personally opposed. They should have been asking that of Mario Cuomo when he made up the I'm personally opposed but publicly supportive of abortion. Yeah, and yes, it is a sin, and yes, it is a sin which pastors ought to be calling their people to repent of. Are they going to get in trouble for doing this? Yes, but it's all the right kind of trouble for a pastor. Pastors shouldn't be troublemakers, but there's a long legacy of those who have been given God's word to speak to his people of being called troublemakers. You shouldn't look for trouble, but this is the right kind of trouble to get into. If a pastor's in trouble with his people because he's called them to repent of their support politically, however they've done it, of so-called abortion rights, then he's in the right kind of trouble. And he's still got God on his side on this particular issue. So, yes, they should be called to repent. Now, Scott Klusendorf makes a somewhat compelling argument that when given the choice between a lesser of two evils, a Christian can in good conscience vote for the lesser of two evils when it comes to the abortion, if it means voting, if these are the only two choices, voting for a candidate who is totally on board with Planned Parenthood in everything, and voting for a candidate who is only marginally on board. He makes this case. In which case he says, you're not supporting it with your vote. You're not supporting the abortion agenda or abortion. You are voting for a candidate that will legislate away from Planned Parenthood's abortion agenda, or at least not push it as hard. So, yes, it is a sin. And yes, we should be called to repent for it. And if people persist in that sin, yes, the pastor should say, because of this persistent sin, like any other sin, I must not permit you to receive the Lord's Supper. And that goes for any denomination. That goes for any Christian denomination. Every Christian denomination that has the Lord's Supper has some form of Christian discipline surrounding it. It may be lax, but they have some sort of Christian discipline surrounding it. And pastors ought to have the guts and the courage to exercise it.
But they also should have the guts and the courage to preach and teach on these issues. Because imagine this. You're supposed to go discipline these people. It's like, hey, priest, I haven't heard you talk about abortion. I've been here a member for 10 years. Yep. Now all of a sudden you're going to deny people communion?
It's a great point. It's a great point. And this is precisely the mess that the Roman Catholic Church has found itself in. It has mountains of documentation to show that they have been consistently against abortion, but they have permitted the laity to depart from their teaching and continue to receive the Lord's Supper. They've permitted them to do that. I think it's a classic case of the horse having left the barn. Now, can they turn around, forced by circumstances of a political nature, the fact that we have a Roman Catholic president who opposes his church's teaching on this adamantly in his policies, can they put the horse back in the barn? Can they say, you know, we should have been taking care of this and nipped this in the bud with Joe Biden the very first time he came out in favor of abortion? We should have nipped it in the bud right there. Said he maybe, was he ever a member of the House?
Yes, I think so.
So if he is a House member and he suddenly starts talking pro-abortion, his priest and his bishop should have said, well, Representative Biden, you are departing from the church's teaching. And they could have probably stemmed the tide there. They could have said, don't depart from the church's teaching. We cannot commune you if you do this. You cannot present yourself for communion if you do this. And they may have been able to stem the tide, but they didn't.
I'm trying to find out if he was... I'll get that answer for you.
I think he's got a very storied career in U.S. politics, and it probably includes a Delaware House of Representatives someplace.
Hey, Jeff from Tampa, are you still there?
Yeah, hey, Jeff, I'm here.
Hey, good. Hey, were you the person that called the comment line about the Audible? We're going to play a cut here today about the catechism on Audible.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, why don't you mention that right now so then we don't have to play the comment.
Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Perfect. Right. I was just browsing around and I noticed that CPH, Concordia Publishing House, published through Audible, which is the audio book arm of Amazon, the large and small catechism unabridged read by the sainted Reverend Paul McCain. And I got a little choked up when I saw it. I was like, my goodness, what an incredible gift this is. Of course, I subscribed just to hear it. It was absolutely terrific, read with strength and power and grace, as we've come to expect from Reverend McCain. It was just wonderful to hear his voice, and I encourage all my fellow Lutherans to have a listen. It's absolutely a wonderful resource.
Jeff, thank you very much, and thanks for listening down there in Florida.
Don't go yet. Don't go away, Jeff. Jeff, do you belong to a confessional Lutheran church there in Tampa?
I do. Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Brandon, Florida. Pastor Ken Farnsworth.
Okay, I ask this personal because our oldest son, Justin, has gotten a job offer in Tampa, so he might be down there. So what's the name of that church again?
Emmanuel Lutheran in Brandon. We're about 20 miles east of downtown Tampa.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Yeah, the only thing I don't like about Tampa is that it rains every single day. But other than that, it is a beautiful place. You didn't tell me Justin was possibly headed down toward the west coast of Florida.
It's a very distinct possibility. Yes, he's been offered a nice job.
I'm surprised you didn't say anything to me. My parents used to live in Tampa.
But my parents lived in Tampa too for a little bit of time before I was born.
Of course, I wasn't around then.
Yeah, and so that's relevant how to the conversation. Hey, Justin, I think you ought to move to Tampa. Could you know Craig's family used to be from there, and Todd has some roots in Tampa? I think that'd be a great place for you to reside.
My mom and dad lived in Tampa for a little bit. I don't know. They also lived in California. So if you wanted to choose California, I actually lived in California for a little amount of time, maybe twice. I can't remember. It's all freeway now. When we come back, we'll go through more listener email. That's talkback@issuesztc.org and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Thanks to our beloved on-demand listeners, Issues Etc. continues to rank among the top podcasts in religion and spirituality. You can help us climb the charts by subscribing, rating, and reviewing Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit the subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc. Help us cast ChristNet on the internet. Subscribe, rate, and review Issues Etc. today.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue feasting our way through 1 Corinthians with head coverings, no such practice, the Lord's Supper, words of institution, and unworthy reception. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
One of the roles a pastor performs in a congregation is helping congregation members get through conflict and difficulty. But what happens in a congregation when maybe the pastor is part of the conflict? What do we do? How do we interact with our pastor in that circumstance? Well, the Reverend John Hill takes up this question in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness in his article, Peace in the Parish. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people. By the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom, God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
Well, Debbie in Sterling Heights, Michigan, mentioned the Issues Etc. book of the month for June, at least its author, in an interview, one of her comments before the break. The book is called Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life. You can find this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House, ask for the book of the month for June, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
I stand corrected. I said I believe that President Biden was once in the House of Representatives. He was not. Listen to this. In 1970, he ran for the 4th district seat on the New Castle County Council. Okay, this is 1970. He's a county council member. He runs for U.S. Senate in 72, from county council to the U.S. Senate.
Really?
Yeah. Well, take it. It is Wikipedia. So
wow.
I should put that caveat out there.
So the Roman Catholic Church has had since 1970 to get the public record of Joe Biden. And I'd be willing to bet, and I might be wrong, that he was probably pro-life at the time when he was local. And maybe even his early days as a Senate. I'd like to know when the Roman Catholic Church first got wind of the fact of the president's move toward support for abortion. And they could have nipped it in the bud.
Well, Al Gore, Bill Clinton,
yep.
Dick Gephardt, the list goes on and on. Chuck, Houston, Texas. I love Houston, Texas.
It's kind of like the Tampa of Texas.
They're both very hot.
Yes, they are.
Chuck in Houston, he said, I have a question about Pastor Wolf Miller's show in the end times. But first, I remember Dr. Robert Bennett talking about animism and the existence of possession and demons that he found in Madagascar, Haiti, Louisiana, and even in congregations he visited in the Midwest. I understand amillennialism, that Jesus has already conquered the devil. He has bound the strong man and now rules. Do we have a theory or understanding that helps us reconcile the demonic activity and the subjugation of the devil Or is this another mystery that we live by faith? Chuck in Houston, thanks for the email. Thanks for listening.
Okay, the devil has been conquered in Jesus' death on the cross, but that conquest is not fully realized until, as Scripture tells us, on the last day he will destroy the devil and the power by which he holds men enslaved. So the devil has not yet been destroyed, but he has been conquered. You see the distinction there. And he has been bound, but the question there is, how has he been bound? Has he been bound so as to be completely inactive, or is he bound that is limited by Christ's victory over him so that he cannot act as he would? Luther's idea here is that the devil has been bound as to be limited so that he cannot do, freely do with impunity, whatever he wishes to do. He has been limited by Christ's victory over him in his death so that the devil cannot act with at will. Luther's analogy is of a rabid dog that is bound by a chain. And the chain doesn't completely restrict his movement. It just limits his movement. He has a, like you see a dog that's on a tie out, they have a perimeter that they can and come inside that perimeter and they can do as they will. Stay outside that perimeter. They can do all they want, but they can't get to you. So that's Luther's analogy there, so that we might not be overly confident in the face of the devil, but always seek to rebuke the devil, flee from his ways, and flee to the mercy of Christ. So I think that allows for the devil's activity in the world, such as demon possession, while still maintaining the fact that at the cross, Jesus conquered the devil and bound him for this time until, as the book of Revelation says, until this little season near the end when Christ is about to return, well, he'll be loosed to do as he pleases. And we couple that together with what Revelation describes the devil having been cast down to earth, and he is down kind of roaming around on the earth in great wrath because he knows his time is short.
Good afternoon. My name is Buddy. I'm calling you from Athol, Massachusetts. I was thinking, for those of us who can't attend that big conference there in Chicago, on July 23rd and 24th, could you think of putting that hymn sing on Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, even at a later date? Just a thought. This is Buddy in Athol. Thank you.
Buddy, thanks for the comment. Well, I think that's a really good idea. In fact, we've done it before. We've actually live streamed, even when we weren't doing live stream of the conference, we had live streamed the hymn sing, and I think we also live streamed a presentation by the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Pastor Matt Harrison, but the rest of the conference was not live streamed. At this point, because we're still taking in-house, in-person registrations for the conference on July 23rd and 24th, we have no plans to live stream the conference as a whole. I like the idea of live streaming Pastor Whedon's hymn sing as kind of a unique event there. We do plan, as we always have, to have it available on demand afterwards, but we do not have any plans to live stream the conference itself.
Correct. There will be for an increase suggested donation, as opposed to the $150 in-person registration fee, be able to watch it on demand.
Yeah, it's kind of the on-demand streaming version of what we've done from the very beginning, which is offer an audio DVD to people who did not attend in person for a increased suggested donation. And we're going to do the same thing, if God willing, with an on-demand streaming, but no live streaming of the conference, maybe the hymn sing.
But we're hip now. We've gone above and beyond audio DVDs to thumb drives.
That's right.
Thumb drives. But if you listen closely, you know what Buddy was really asking? He was asking us to stream it on LPR, Sacred Music Station, which would require one Lord Feichninger to come in on a day off on Saturday, July 24th.
And switch us over.
And switch us over to live mode. What say you, Lord Feichtinger?
My question was, when you said live stream, before we did it, wasn't it Facebook Live? Wasn't that how we did it?
Yes.
Yeah. We streamed via Facebook.
Right.
Yeah.
But Buddy wants to hear it on Lutheran Public Radio, Craig.
And I think he might have been listening to Lutheran Public Radio in the background. Did you hear the music back there? He might have been listening to Lutheran Public Radio.
I did.
So, I mean, that's very doable.
Yes. We just need somebody to come in here, because you and I will be in Chicago, to switch Lutheran Public Radio from record to live stream. I think Craig can do that. He does that for chapel. 3 days a week.
I think I might be out of town that day.
Yeah, of course you are.
I think I might be gone.
Of course you are.
Tori, I think Tori might have asked me, oh, you know what? Here's what's happening. My in-laws were going to celebrate their birthday, so I'm going to be in
Cape
Girardeau. They're going to be in Cape Girardeau.
Right. In-laws celebrating their birthday.
I won't be in town, man.
Yeah. I believe that. But anyway, let's talk about the Making the Case conference.
Oh, sure.
Friday, July 23rd, Saturday, July 24th. It's like Issues Etc. on steroids.
Mm-hmm. Starts with the live broadcast of Issues Etc. right there in front of our audience. And then after that, we go immediately into a couple presentations. I can't remember the schedule right off the top of my head. I think we have two presentations and a Q&A the first night. And then bright and early the next morning, we're back at it with Dr. Robert George will be presenting. Who else is going to be doing Saturday?
So Friday night is Dr. Larry Rest from Concordia Theological Seminary in part one of The Constitution and Civic Virtue with Dr. Robert George of Princeton University. Then we begin Saturday morning with Dr. Robert George part two. After that, I believe it is a Q&A, 1 hour Q&A with Mark and Molly Hemingway.
That's a presentation in and of itself. We just, like we did last year from Chicago, just listener questions for Mark and Molly Hemingway.
Followed by Jack Phillips, Freedom of Conscience. Followed by a Q&A with Jack Phillips, Robert George, and Jack Phillips, attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom, Jake Warner. Followed by an excellent lunch. And by the way, the new cafeteria at Concordia University of Chicago, awesome.
You've been there?
Oh, yeah. We just had a board meeting there. Very, very nice. Lots of exciting things happening at Concordia University of Chicago under the direction of one Dr. Russell Dawn. We break for lunch, come back. The Hymn Sing, led by Pastor Will Whedon. Hymns, Scandinavian hymns, Northern Lights. Then we have Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on Making the Case for Christian Hope.
And then there's another Q&A?
Q&A with Pastor Wolfmiller, and then it's the Divine it's supper, evening meal, and the Divine Service. So the $150 registration fee, you get all that and three meals at the new, brand spanky new, state-of-the-art cafeteria at Concordia University of Chicago.
Oh, and look, I know that some people are hesitant post-COVID to get together in large groups. And for those of you who have attended the Issues Etc. conference before, it is a large group. We were able to have about 500 in 2019. In 2020, we could not have an in-person conference, but we did have about 1,000 people who were watching it via the live stream, which we were very happy to have. And this year, we're kind of walking into unknown territory. What does a conference look like post-COVID? I will tell you this much. I watched the Cardinals games. Their home games, one game, there were 3,000 people short of capacity at Cardinals at the stadium there at Busch Stadium. You know, if people can go out and enjoy the post-COVID freedoms to watch a baseball game, then we can get 500 people to attend the conference on the 23rd and 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Buildings open. Government says no restrictions. You're going to movies, you're going out to the restaurant, you're going to ball games, you can come to the conference too.
And you can register at issuesetc.org. You'll find the conference schedule there, or give us a call, 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, Making the Case, Friday, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
We'll be right back.
Yeah. St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 that the Gentiles are without God in the world and without hope.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Now that's an amazing statement. It means that to be without God is to be without hope, and the corollary, to be with God is to have hope. Christians are marked by this. We have hope. And we have hope not only in this life, but we have hope in the life to come. Our Christian hope expands past death, past the last day, even to the resurrection of the body, the new heaven and the new earth where the righteous dwell. We have this extended horizon of hope, and we dwell under that cloud of glory.
You can meet and hear Pastor Wolfmiller making the case for Christian hope at this year's Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This fallen creation is bested by tornado, hurricane, flood, pandemic, and more. LCMS Disaster Response helps our congregations, their pastors, and other church workers to reach out to their members and neighbors with mercy which flows from Christ's altar. We offer quality volunteer training, help for congregational readiness and response, and disaster grant funding. To learn more, visit lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Hello, it's me. I've thought about us for a long, long time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
Affiliates, apologize. We're going to be going a little over the top of the hour. Phil writes, thank you so much for your theological program and for using your gifts in vocation to look at the current struggle in light of the word and gospel. A current response to critical race theory causes confusion with what I've always viewed as sound Christian doctrine. CRT, critical race theory, applies systemic white guilt based from birth solely on race, and most responses I've heard, and I believe Todd used just this past Tuesday, this phrase this past Tuesday, are that you cannot apply foundational guilt to someone from birth outside of the accountability of their actions. How can we resolve that reply with our belief in original sin, which appears on its surface to do just that? Do I misidentify a possible contradiction? With hope in him, concludes Phil.
So, the difference between the guilt assigned in, and I like that term, Paul Dare used that term, assigned guilt or assigned sin, under critical race theory, is that there are two differences. One is that you're guilty of things you didn't do, and you're guilty of them solely on the basis of an accident of your birth, namely your skin color. That's CRT's assigned sin or assigned guilt. What's the difference with original sin? Well, we are guilty. We are conceived, as Scripture says, conceived and born sinful. Not just, we don't have guilt assigned to us by virtue of our descendancy from Adam. We are actually conceived and born sinful. From the moment of our first existence in our conception, we are sinners. We don't only inherit Adam's sin, but we are actually sinners ourselves. We are guilty of our own sin. Someone might say, well, you haven't done anything. But insofar as a developing human being in the womb can do anything, they are acting in sin. So I think people kind of commonly think, well, the little baby has original sin, but they haven't really done anything actual. Yes, they have. They've done actual sins. Insofar as infants can act, think, and at their stage of development, they have acted contrary to God's will. They're enemies of God. They're not only born enemies of God, but they are actual enemies of God themselves. So this is very different from the assigned guilt of critical race theory. Critical race theory says you haven't actually done anything, but you're still guilty of it just by virtue of your skin color and the accident of your birth. And original sin says you not only inherit Adam's guilt by virtue of being a descendant of Adam, but you actually are guilty yourself of your own sins.
Hi, I'm Catherine, calling from Avon, Indiana. I was just listening to Katie Faust talk about sperm donation here on June the 23rd and how it robs the kids of knowing both parents. Discovery Channel, Discovery Plus app has a very good program called Future People about a bunch of kids in just this situation. It's worth checking out. Have a good evening.
All right. Thank you very much. If you haven't listened to our recent interview with Katie Faust, she makes a compelling case. In fact, she's one of the issues that set her up. Sound bites of the week that we'll be playing and you'll be voting on tomorrow, where she talks about in vitro fertilization, the way it could be practiced in an ethical and child-centered way, but it isn't practiced that way. It's practiced in an adult-centered way. It's about meeting the desires of the adults rather than recognizing the rights of the children that are being created this way. So she makes a very compelling argument about IVF, as it is practiced ordinarily, as almost designed to violate children's rights.
Jason writes, episode 1693, responding to listener email, or how we managed to address just two questions and fill the remaining time with mindless banter. Apropos.
Yeah, so he's renaming one of our segments there?
Yes.
Hopefully we're getting to more questions today.
That's because we have more time, but thanks again to Josh Pauling. We have less time.
Otherwise, we would be filling it with more mindless banter.
Yes, we would. One final email. Beth says, thank you so much for all the programming that helps us navigate the LGBTQ+ agenda. As a pediatric nurse in a large hospital, this has become extremely relevant to me. Please continue to bring in your expert guests to help us discern the lies. It gives me the ammunition I need to face the battles all alone at work. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Beth.
Well, Beth, just remember, you're not alone. You may not have any allies among your fellow employees or your HR department or the doctors who are there, but you are not alone. You have Christ with you. Christ is always there by your side, and that's a good thing to remember, not only because it's not going to be your courage or your knowledge or your ability to encounter these things that will ultimately avail, but will be Christ. And what we're doing here when we evaluate these things like the transgender agenda or all the other things that we find in the world around us is we are trying to apply Christ's truth to answer these lies that are found in the world. And I've said it many times, Beth, the truth is on your side. If you are in Christ's word and you are speaking what Christ says in his word, both law and gospel, you have the truth on your side. Friday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss a literary and theological inquiry into the news with Dr. Jeffrey Bilbro of Grove City College, and we'll play Issues Etc., Soundbite of the Week. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come, there is hope in St. Louis. Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
We are sustained by the water of life in baptism, the words of life in His Word, the bread of life in His Holy Supper. In the name of Jesus.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel, live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.